I want to see people saved. Now, there are many who come to Mount Zion Baptist Church from time to time who refuse to be saved. I think I know why. I want to see Christians growing and faithful and involved at Mount Zion Baptist Church. And there are many who say that they are believers who attend Mount Zion Baptist Church, but who won't make any commitment to Christ. They won't sell out, as others have, to be involved in the ministry here and to do the work that needs to be done. And I think I know one reason why. Today I want to preach on why some hesitate to be saved. I want to preach on why some Christians have this take it or leave it mentality, attitude toward the Bible and preaching. I want to preach on why some nonchalantly live their life, never making spiritual commitments that they should make, never being faithful, never taking stands, never separating from sinful fleshly practices, and often not agreeing with the doctrinal teachings of the church. I want to preach on why some put so much stock in their own faulty reasoning against what the Bible has to say. And insofar as they do that, they never really grow in the faith of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today I want to preach on this topic. How have you received the Word of God? Now our text says that for this cause also we thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. The Bible as it's preached is the Word of God. The Bible as it's read is the Word of God, not of men. And we need to take our faulty reasoning and cast it aside in favor of adopting God's reasoning from the Word of God. We are studying about the Bible now, the Word of God. Have you received the Word of God? How have you received it? First of all, we consider today the names of the Bible. The names of the Bible. One of the names of the Bible is the Word of God. Who is God? Well, God is the author of the Bible. He is the creator. He is omnipotent. You get a feel for who God is by His traits. And one of His traits is that He's all-powerful. He's ever-present everywhere. And He's omniscient, which means He knows everything. He's unchangeable. He is the only God, and besides Him, there is no other. He's the only God. And He's the one who wrote the Bible, so we call the Bible the Word of God, not the Word of man. Contrast His Word with your Word. How is God's Word different than your thinking? How is it different than your Word or mine? Well, for example, God never lies. You and I are subject to deceit, but He never lies. God knows everything. You and I don't know everything. And therefore, God's Word is reliable, and our words are mostly reliable, but can be faulty. When you hear the Bible, and it's different from your idea, which should you follow? The Bible. Say it with me. The Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Say that with me. The Bible is the Word of God. And so have you received the Bible? How have you received the Bible? You should receive it as the Word of God. And if you did, you'd have a fear of God. You would obey what God says. So the second name for the Bible is the Bible. There are many books, and then there is the book. In my library, I have 3,000 books. Got books all over one room in our house, and we've got books in another room, and all kinds of books in our house we like to read. But there's only one book. The book. The Bible. The word Biblos, which is the Greek word from which we get the word Bible, that means book. And so the word Bible means book. Others have a lot of information, other books, but none of them were written by Almighty God. So this is a special book. The name Bible is a term that sets this book aside from all other books. Be thankful that you have books in your library, but be great, more thankful for the book that you have. Then we have the term Scriptures. Scriptures. There are 52 references in the Bible to the term Scripture. The word Scripture means Holy Writ. It's the Holy Writ. It's that which was written by a holy God given to man. Jesus challenged us to learn the Scriptures. When he said in Mark 12:24, and Jesus answering said unto them, "Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God?" And there are countless other terms for the Bible that connect it to the Lord. For example, the Word of the Lord. These are all terms found in the Scriptures now. The Word of the Lord, the Word of Christ, the Word of life. The word of faith, the word of truth. It's called, the Bible is called the word of grace, the word of salvation, the word of reconciliation, the word of righteousness. The Bible is called the law of liberty, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, the word of prophecy, the oracles of God, and on we could go with the names of the Bible, all linking it, the Bible, to the Lord. Therefore, look at your Bible as a divine book that was sent by a loving but almighty God to you. This is a guidebook. Now, listen, I wouldn't be without my owner's manual for my van, because there's things I want to refer to. I want to know how to operate in my van. And so I have an owner's manual. Well, this is the life owner's manual. This is the one that you need to know how to live this life. And that's everyday living. And so you need to be reading it every day. Value it. Accept all of its doctrine. Accept all of its instruction. Cherish it. Guide your life by it in this new year. How have you received the Word of God? First, we look at the names. Secondly, we look at the symbols for the Word of God. And this is really enlightening. I really enjoyed this study this week. And it reveals to us the purpose for why God gave us the Bible. For example, one symbol is light. The Bible uses the symbol of light to show us what the Bible will do for us. In Psalm 119:1, some words that we've heard somebody else say, when we say that we want to be on fire, but in another breath, in another way of how we live our life, we never open the Bible. We're not in church to hear the Bible preached. That's faulty reasoning. It is a fire. We need the Bible's fire. Thirdly, we see that it represents a hammer, or is represented by a hammer. In the same verse, "Is not my word like as a fire, Jeremiah 23:29, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." Our hearts can become hardened like a rock. It's the Word of God that acts like the hammer that's able to break our hardened heart again. Sometimes we allow our heart to become hardened against God. I was 21 years old. I was surrendered to God, I thought. I had surrendered to the ministry, and I wanted God to use me, and we were going to church, and I was teaching a Sunday school class and youth leader and doing a number of things in the church, and I graduated from Teachers College in Bowling Green. I was ready to teach in the public schools, and I happened to graduate at the same time they had a glut of teachers, and there were no jobs available. And I was married, had to make a living, had to take care of the family. And so I got a job at the only place available, which was Midwest Stamping in Bowling Green, Ohio. and I could only work the night shift. It was the only thing they had available, and I hated it. I had worked in a factory for a year before that to put myself through college, but this job was different. It was dangerous. It was horrible. Night shift work, and I almost lost my whole hand one night in one of the machines, and I started to get hard-hearted. I started to get bitter toward God. I'm not proud of it. But I started talking while I was working there, and I had these metal pieces about that long, about real thin. I had to get them stamped. And I had a whole bin clear full of them. Take them here, put them in here, take my hands back, hit the button with my foot or with a hand. Different machines were different run. And I take my hand out and take this piece and put it over here and get another piece, put it in, and did that all night long. And one time I hit the button, my hands were still in there. I had straps on my wrists for safety, thank God, and I hit the button. I must have been with my feet because it jerked my hands out from underneath this great big press that's coming down. Whack! Like that. Well, I would have lost my hands. And I got an attitude. I didn't like my circumstance in life. It wasn't what I trained for. I was surrendered to God, and here I am. And I started getting one of those pieces out. And I said, yeah, God, you really love me, don't you? And I put that piece in. Look, here I am. I put all this time into learning how to be a teacher, and I can't even get a teacher's job. Look at this, God. You really love me. And I start banging those pieces around. I couldn't have hurt them or broke them. They're metal. But I just banged them around. And Lord and I had a discussion that night. And then I got under conviction as I thought about the Word of God. And that what I was saying with my mouth did not line up with the Word of God. And the Word of God acted like a hammer on my hard heart. Has that ever happened to you? I didn't think I was capable of having that kind of attitude toward God. It was a revelation to me. I was embarrassed. But I repented of that kind of an attitude. And God was happy down the road to use me again. The Bible is symbolized by a sword. In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Ephesians 6:17, when it talks about the armor of God, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Another symbol for the Bible is a sword. His Word is sharp. In other words, here's the message he wants us to get from the symbol of the sword. It's sharp and able to get right to the heart of the matter. It's able to look right into our heart and see what's going on. Now, other people can't see our heart, but the Word of God discerns what's going on inside of us and what's causing our attitude problem. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. The Word is also like water. Another symbol for the Bible is water. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church, with the washing of water by the Word. In other words, we learn from that the Bible is the cleansing agent. The Bible has the capability of cleansing us as we read it. It's like a strainer. It's like taking a shower. Bath, if you're lost. The Word has a cleansing effect when we hear it and we heed it. Then it's like honey. Ezekiel 3:3 says in the roll, the roll's talking about the Word. The roll, I did eat it and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Honor to God. The more that you spend reading and listening and studying, obeying the Word of God, the sweeter it becomes. You realize, man, that is powerful. Just that verse changed my life in one area.
It is sweet. Honor to God for His Word. It's honey. And then the Word is the seed in Luke 8 and verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. So the Word of God is likened to a seed. The seed has a potential of sprouting into a fruitful plant, is what it's getting at. And His Word that's planted in our heart has the potential of becoming fruitful in our lives, of accomplishing the purpose that God wanted and blessing us and making us fruitful. In James chapter 1, another symbol for the Bible is that it's a mirror. The Bible says that it's a glass, beholding His natural face in a glass like a mirror. It says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway, that means immediately, forgetteth what manner of man he was. If he hears and doesn't do, he's looking into a mirror to see what he's like. He hears what the preacher says, or he reads what God says, and he ignores it, and he goes his way, and he doesn't do anything about it. He's the guy who hears but doesn't do. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Looking into the Bible is like looking into a mirror. We hear the Bible preached, we read what the Bible says, and we find out what's out of place in our life, in our heart. Just like you look in the mirror and see that hair is out of place, and you get it combed just right. Old Dave Wright's got that hair combed just right. I had to look in the mirror to get that like that. Now you lay on your hair and it's going to kind of get crumpled up somehow, but you got to get it just right. You look in the mirror to do that. We look in the mirror to find out what's out of place in our life. People who don't look into the mirror, they don't care how they're living. Just like a person that doesn't look in the mirror doesn't care how they look. Now, the mirror shows us what's out of place, just like the Word of God does. There's something else. The Word of God is likened unto milk. In 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Milk, well, milk is the only thing the WT wants. Only thing a baby wants. It's all that the baby needs. Milk is the nutrition that every baby needs to be able to grow. And a healthy baby will cry when it doesn't get its milk, when it wants milk. The Bible is what every believer needs in Christ to grow. Are you following me? And so we're not healthy if there's not a cry in us for more. When I see someone who says that they just received Christ and they've been taught to have their devotions by now, they've been taught to be in church, and I don't see either of those things going on, I say, boy, we got a sick child here. Something wrong here. So we learn a lot about the Bible by its names and by its symbols. Then we look at the arrangement of the Bible, the structure of the Bible. The Bible is divided into two sections, two testaments, if you will, the Old and the New. The Old Testament tells of the coming of man, Adam, and the history of the world and of Israel under the law. That's the Old Testament. The New Testament tells of the coming of the second man, Jesus Christ, and the history of the church under grace. So we have these two testaments, these two sections of the Bible. The Bible is divided further into 66 books written by 40 men, but all of the books were authored by God. God told them what to write down, and you'll hear more about that tonight. The Old Testament has 39 books, while the New Testament has 27 books. 39 and 27 adds up to 66. Beware of the Catholic Bible, which has some other books. 15 books in the middle called the Apocrypha. As these are the names. Watch out for these. Esdras 1 and 2. Ecclesiasticus. That's not part of the Bible. Maccabees 1 and 2. Additions to Esther. Wisdom of Solomon. Now, we have books on Solomon in the Bible and on wisdom in Proverbs, but not that book called the Wisdom of Solomon. Tobit, Judith, Baruch, Susanna, the letter of Jeremiah, the prayer of Azariah, Bel and the dragon, for heaven's sakes, and the prayer of Manasseh. These were hidden books that are never mentioned, that never mention the name of God. They claim no authorship whatsoever from God. Who wrote them has never been determined. This is one of the reasons, one of the ways that our forefathers determined the canon of Scripture, the rule of Scripture, is by if they mention God, if they talk about God, if we know who wrote them. The early church knew about these writings and did not accept them as part of the canon. They rejected them. Some of the books actually teach fairy tales and heresy. The apocryphal books are never mentioned or quoted in the New Testament by Christ or by the apostles as the other 39 books of the Old Testament are, as a matter of verification. And these 15 books of the Apocrypha were written from 200 B.C. before Christ to 100 years after Christ. And yet they were never added to the Catholic Bible until 1546 at the Council of Trent. And so don't accept these books. They're books of fiction, heresy, and lies, and we don't accept those books. They are not inspired of God. The Bible that God wrote only has 66 books divided in two sections, Old Testament, New Testament. The Bible is divided further into sections. We group some of the books, the 66 books, into sections. In the Old Testament, we have a law section of five books written by Moses. We call it the Pentateuch, penta meaning five. Then we have the 12 books of history, Joshua through Esther. The five books of poetry, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. There are five books of major prophets, major because they are long books. They wrote more. And so Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel are the five major prophets. We have 12 minor prophets, minor because their books are smaller. And so Hosea through Malachi are all of those books in the Old Testament. The New Testament sections are easy. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four books, all about Christ and Christ's life. We have the history of the church in the book of what? Acts, one book, you know, on history in the New Testament. The Pauline epistles, or letters, there are 13 books that were written by Paul, and they are letters written to either churches or individuals. There are general epistles, eight of those, written by a variety of writers. And then there's one book of prophecy, which is the book of Revelation. All right. So you see the structure of the Bible and how it's laid out. Also consider the statistics of the Bible. There are 66 books, 1,189 chapters. Stephen Langton was the first to divide the Bible into chapters in 1200 A.D. The first Bible divided into chapters was the Stephanus Latin Bible in 1552 A.D. The first English Bible with chapter divisions was the Geneva Bible in 1557. And, of course, that's before the King James Bible of 1611. And the King James came out with chapter divisions because of that. Verses, 31,173 verses, or in other words, you could read fewer than 90 verses a day and read through the Bible in a year. Rabbi Nathan made the Old Testament divisions in 1448 into verses, and it was printed in 1524, 1448. Now, you got to get this. The Bible was not divided into chapters until the 1200s. Not divided into verses until the 1400s. Whole Bibles didn't come out
divided into chapters and verses until the 1500s. That wasn't long ago. We're talking less than 500 years ago that the Bible was divided into chapters and verses. New Testament verse divisions have first appeared in the Stephanus Latin New Testament in 1551 and in the English Geneva Bible in 1557. Now, I know you're going to want to know this. There are 774,746 words in the Bible. And you've got to get this. There's 3,566,480 letters in the Bible. That doesn't mean anything to you, but if you were a scribe, it meant a lot because they counted the letters. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. We need to become familiar with our Bible. The longest chapter is Psalm 119. The longest verse, Esther 8:9. Boy, that's a long verse. It's almost your whole day's devotions right there. The shortest chapter of the Bible is Psalm 117. And the shortest verse is Jesus wept. John 11:35. 9 letters in that verse. The middle verse of the Bible is the theme of the Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in men. Psalm 118 and verse 8 is the very center of the Bible. So the Bible's author is God, not man. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible names teach us about the Word of God. The Bible symbols teach us about the purpose of the Word of God. The Bible arrangement shows us the structure and the statistics of the Word of God. Then we consider the message. The message of the Bible is so clear you cannot miss it. Number one, man is a sinner. We see this in the opening chapters of Genesis and throughout the Bible from there on. In Adam, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible is clear. Then the Bible states that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinful men, of which we are all sinful men. And Jesus is the only one who died and shed His blood on the cross for our sins. He's the only one who paid the price for us. He's the only one who met God's requirements for forgiveness of our sins. He went to the cross to forgive us. The unified theme of the entire Bible is that man cannot redeem himself, that man needs a Redeemer, and that the only Redeemer could be the one who would sacrifice His blood for us. And that was Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God. We go on with the message of the Bible. The Bible is how we are born again. In 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How can you become wise to receive salvation? By the Holy Scriptures. You hear the Word of God, and you believe it, and you obey it. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. The Word of God is the agent by which we are born again. No one can be born again without the Bible. And that means you can't go to heaven without the Bible. Something else. The Bible is how we receive our faith. In Romans 10:17, and I don't think it matters whether you're talking here about saving faith or faith to live by, all faith comes from the Bible. It says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We read the Bible, we hear the Bible read or preached or taught, and the Lord starts to build our faith in Jesus Christ. Without the Bible, our faith cannot be built in God. This is the manner by which we build our faith. If your faith has been weak lately, it's because you haven't gone to the faith builder, which is the Bible. Either not to listen to it or not to read it or both. The Bible is important to our being saved. It is also the secret to living and growing as a Christian. The Bible is also how we overcome temptation and overcome the devil and get through the trials of our life. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You take that, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in your battles. It is the Word of God that gets you through your battles, your temptations. Jesus showed us the example. When he went through his temptations in his life, he kept saying, "It is written." It is written where? In one of the books on my shelf? No, in the Bible, in the Scriptures. It is written. Every Christian faces temptations and battles with the devil where we have to learn to say no. Well, if you have been weak and not winning battles or trials or temptations in your life lately, it's because you've neglected the spiritual weapon that God has provided for you. You've got a sword in your hand, brother. Sister, you've got a sword. When you hold the Word of God, when you read it, it supernaturally arms you against the onslaughts of the devil. The Bible is our offensive weapon to fight him. Therefore, the Bible ought to be used. It ought to be read, studied, meditated on, memorized, preached, taught, heard, understood, and heeded. Finally, one day we'll be judged by the Bible. James chapter 1 and verse 25, I want you to go there now as I finish. We have three verses to read and we'll be done. James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, no one here would say that the perfect law of liberty is anything other than the Bible. Do I get a consent from everybody? It's talking about the Bible. The Bible is the perfect law of liberty. Now, go over to James chapter 2 and verse 12. Same book, 2:12. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by what? The law of liberty. The law of liberty. What is that? You just got done telling me what it was. It's the Bible. It's what we look into. The perfect law of liberty is the Bible. Now it says we're going to be judged by the law of liberty. The Bible is our mirror to show us what we are. But it is also the basis of our judgment one day. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 and we're done. That's our text. When you think, you think something and the Bible says something else, which one is right? The Bible is right. The Bible says you should not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You think, I got one dose this week. That's a plenty for me. We have church tonight. We have church on Wednesday night. Your thinking is once a week is enough. What's God's word say? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. How have you received the word of God? Have you received it as the word of man? Well, that's one more thought. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. My thought's as equal as the Bible's thought. Or have you received it as Paul told us that the Thessalonians received it? Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You and I need to take the word of God more seriously. We are responsible for what it says. The salvation that God offers emanates from the Word of God. The faith that we need comes from the Word of God. The instruction on how to live and how to grow, that all comes from the Word of God. The strength that we need to overcome in our trials and our temptations, guess what? That comes from the Word of God. and we will one day be judged by that word. Therefore, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't depend on your ideas when it comes to the Bible. Obey the Bible. Change your ideas to match what the Bible says. Receive the Bible as it is. And what is the Bible? It is the Word of God. Say it with me. The Word of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed now. No one looking around now. The Bible declares that all have sinned and that every person needs a Savior. Is that true or false? Well, since the Bible says it, that means God said it and God can't lie. It's true. We all need a Savior. We have all sinned. That means that if you have never received Christ and His forgiveness for your sin, then you are lost in your sin. And you are still in need of a Savior. I mean right now. Believe it today. Come to Him today and be saved. I wonder who it is here that like that, who believes God's Word today and wants to have the forgiveness of sins that Christ offers. Could I see your hand? Is there somebody like that? Our God wrote a book on how to live and how to grow as a Christian. He made provision for us to grow in faith and be victorious over our temptations. He made a way for us to control our thinking. He knew that we needed breaking sometimes. And so He showed us that the Bible is a hammer. He knew that we needed direction sometimes. And so He showed us that the Bible is a light. He knew that we needed nourishment. He gave us the symbol of the Bible as milk and later as meat. He knew that we needed cleansing from time to time. So He showed us the Bible as water. He knew that our fire and our zeal for God needed to be rekindled ever so often. And so He showed us that the Bible is fire. We find the answers to all of our needs in the blessed book. What have you been needing lately? Brother, sister, who claims the name of Christ now, God has made special provision for you today. He wants you to honor His Word today and let it draw you. The Father has been waiting for His Son or daughter, I'm talking about you, to recognize He's made a bountiful provision just for you. Now, who can benefit from that? You can, if you avail yourself of it. I invite you to come right after I pray. I invite you to come as a Christian. Thank Him for His provision. Seek what you need today. He has it for you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for Your Word. We pray, O God, that it will accomplish its purpose. Now, Lord, You said Your Word will never return void. And so I'm praying it will not return void this morning. As we studied what a great book this is and how You designed it specifically for us so we can live our life victoriously, help us right now. Those who have different needs in different areas, I pray the Word of God will minister to them by Your Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone standing, 599 in your hymn book. Break Thou the Bread of Life, 599. The altar is open for you to come. Come on the first verse of 599.